me fucking scoot back a little so I guess fucking so I don't punch the microphone.
Hey, come listen to our podcast, yeah. Please listen, it's a hitch. If you don't listen to our podcast, yeah, then you are a bitch.
Maybe that one.
Welcome to Filmoscopy, a quaint little podcast where three friends get together and discuss their favorite movies. Today, I am Lance, your host. I am with the two guest hosts. Of course, depending on the order of those episodes that came out recently, I guess the last episode, Owen was on it too, but we recorded one in between and released it before that didn't have Owen. It was our year-end special. So there's going to be a lot of like weird flash forwards and flashbacks. So today's episode is going to have Cody. Cody, say hello.
Hello.
And then Owen, say hello, good sir.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Well, today I decided when I picked this movie. Because I'm kind of a completionist about some things. I'm like, you know what? There's literally one more Mortal Kombat Legends animated movie, and we'll be done with it. It doesn't have my boy Hanzo Asashi, a.k.a. Scorpion, but it's Mortal Kombat. Fuck it. It should be fun. I won't get mad about anything, and I'm not going on a soapbox about anything. So, yeah, we're doing Mortal Kombat Legends Cage Match, which is a... It's not connected to the continuity. Well, really, the continuity of these movies goes Scorpion's Revenge and then Battle of the Realms. And then the Snowblind movie is kind of like an alternate future reality, but it was created after Kano got the Hourglass. So who knows if that's actually a sequel to Battle of the Realms or if it's, you know, just... We're doing something completely different. And this one's completely different, but it kind of picks up where Scorpion's Revenge starts for the heroes. So, yeah. We're doing this movie. Gentlemen, Owen, what is your experience with Mortal Kombat? No, I'm just kidding. What is... Because if you want to hear that, I probably asked that at least like five times now already. Owen, was this the first time you watched this movie, sir?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Before I ask Cody... If you had to do a quick ranking of the first three, how would you rank how you liked them? I remember you doing that in a Snowblind episode, but yeah. I'd be curious to see like if it holds up to the same rating. I know you don't remember how you rated them, but
yeah, I'm trying to find a list of all. So it's Scorpion's Revenge, and then I think after that it's Battle of the Realms, right? And then it's Snowblind, and then this one, right?
Yes, that's how the four goes. But how would you rate on how you like enjoyed them personally?
I would probably put, and I mean, I feel like on this higher level, like on this number one spot, they might be able to be like switched around. But I think the two that I had the best time, like the most enjoyable time watching, was probably Scorpion's Revenge, and then followed by the one we've just this one.
Okay.
And then number two spot would probably be the Kenji one. And then last place might be Battle of the Realms, because I think Battle of the Realms was just kind of, you know, what we'd seen before. But I still thought it was fine, though. Like, it was still good.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun because it does have that kind of OG MK lore to it, but there's so much crammed into it. And they know it. They had 40 minutes. I listened to an interview. They had 40 minutes of that movie lopped off that they couldn't put in there. He was going to have a subplot with clones that obviously was going to introduce Melina, and they obviously didn't get around to it, and they had to cut all that shit out. So that's not the writer's fault, technically. I just think they thought they had two movies to do this with. So they were trying to cram everything in those two movies. I think when you try to map out a story.
A lot of shit's going to get cut. Especially,
but it's also like, you know, you're like, okay, I got two movies to do this with. So you kind of take your time with the first movie when you're writing it out, and it's kind of slow, kind of prodding, establishing everything, and then you realize, oh, wait, I got to fit all this other shit in the second movie. So that's kind of like what they had to do, you know, for that one. All right, Cody, sir? Was this your first experience with this movie as well?
It was.
Okay. I'm going to ask you the same question. The first three movies that we've seen, well, the first three legend movies, not the live action ones too that we watched. Like, how would you rank how you enjoyed those movies? Because I think you like Snowblind the best, if I'm not mistaken.
Excellent question, Lance. Excellent. No, I would actually put, at this current moment in time, I would do Scorpion's Revenge, then I would do Snowblind, and then Cage Match, and then Battle of the Realms.
Okay, I can see that. Cool. So this was the first experience for me. I actually held off on listening to the Mortal Kombat fan YouTube channels or podcasts that I like listening to, because I wanted to have like that first experience. And you know, we were going to record last week, it ended up not working out, but we had watched it last week. I rewatched it this morning, and I actually listened to an interview with the writer and a podcast that did a commentary on it. And I'm like, okay, I kind of really enjoy, I just love the Mortal Kombat, like, period. Obviously, not so much the Mortal Kombat 1 story, but I do love this franchise, so that's why I picked it. But when I was listening to it, I understand, like, the writer was a fan of this stuff, so I do appreciate what he's put into it. If I had to rank them, obviously, for me, being a Hanzo stan, Scorpion's Revenge is going to be number one. And man, I hate to say, I mean, I think I like Snowblind, but there's a lot of that movie that ultimately just doesn't interest me. So I'd have to put Battle of the Realms number two, just because there's a lot of Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Like, there's this Scorpion and Sub-Zero, like, fucking, like, team-up, which is awesome. You see fucking human smoke, and you see the cyborgs, and it's like, holy shit, this is fucking cool. So I have to put Battle of the Realms just from that nostalgia standpoint, like, because I love the Mortal Kombat 2 story. I love the Deception story. And then I'd have to put Snowblind. I put Snowblind at 3. I put this at 4, not because I didn't like it, but it's just the lack of Scorpion. Like, because there's no Scorpion. But, you know, like, the Grim Reaper Scorpion we got at Snowblind, I thought was just like a fucking A-plus costume for Hanzo. I thought, you know, I wish they had put that in Mortal Kombat 11 or in this game, which obviously they're not going to. But yeah, so I'd have to go like kind of ranking in the order because of like the featuredness, Hanzo being featured, you know. Other than that, you know, so yeah, I guess we'll get into this movie. Oh Lord, how do I put this? Mortal Kombat is an acquired taste. You either have to be a fan of the game, and you run into two different types of fans. Like, one fan is just a fan of fighting games, and he just likes the fighting part of it. Like, oh, there's a story, and they just play stupid like that. That's a pet peeve when someone will say something on either social media or in person. It's like, oh, I didn't know there was a story to it. I'm like, dude, just fucking Google something. Before you even speak, pull out your phone, take 3 seconds and Google Mortal Kombat story ? And you'll come up with something.
Wait, there's a story?
But then you have,
that's when you're like, bitch, yeah, shut your yap.
Exactly. It's just, ugh. It's just fucking just irritating. But, so, if you get into, like, but you have other people that are diehards, and they really like their characters. They really want their characters to be the main character. So, for me, Scorpion's Revenge was that big victory when I got like, oh, hell yeah, Hanzo, even though, you know, Scorpion is Ed Boon's favorite character, quote unquote, until he wants to replace him with somebody else. Yeah, Hanzo being the main point of something, it's a victory for me. It's like, oh yeah, my guy is the main person of this. And I was telling somebody, I can't remember. It's like, you know, I love professional wrestling, but I'm an Ultimate Warrior fan, and then Jeff Hardy fan over professional wrestling. So if they're not on the TV, I am less interested automatically. Like, I'm just, and I can go without watching professional wrestling if they're not on TV. I'm not even really watching Jeff Hardy on AEW anymore. But I can go, like, I mean, Ultimate Warrior disappeared in 98. I didn't watch wrestling again until 2002 when I discovered Jeff Hardy wearing face paint. So I can pick it up and put that shit down. And like football, I'm a Chiefs fan, and I pull for my dad's fan of my dad's team, the Vikings. If they're not on my TV, I'm extremely less interested. And with Mortal Kombat, if there's no Scorpion, I'm less interested. So that, I think Snowblind being that kind of slow and prodding, like, movie, I mean, I appreciate it. I listened to a commentary today of Cage Match, and they said maybe it's a little too much like Mad Max. Like, they took too much from it instead of just being inspired by it. Which is okay, but, you know, this movie right here, Cage Match, I thoroughly enjoyed because it is very 80s inspired and like 80s action flick inspired. Like they said, it like it popped in my head earlier because there's a few musical notes in this movie that has saxophone. I'm like, this has got a Lethal Weapon feel to it. And they said the same thing. It's like, okay, so I'm not the only one. So it definitely feels like Lethal Weapon. And I think I kind of like this art style of Johnny Cage for this movie versus what he looked like in Scorpion's Revenge of Battle of the Realms. I don't know what it is. I just like it.
Yeah. I like this. I like this art style too. I like the shading. I like all the stuff in shadows. It's like the purple and the pinks and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely the 80s.
Like yeah.
80s shit. So yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Owen, for my, just before we get into the plot from a storyline perspective, how do you think the story flowed this time versus, like, do you think there was growth from the writer, like, from each movie, like, it kind of improved each movie in some way, or do you think it was all kind of the same for you?
I mean, this is, like, a lot more of a personal story, I guess, than, like, you know, there's, like, I guess the first one is, too, with Scorpion's Revenge, but I feel like with this one, they have the benefit of it not being, like, schizophrenic, where it's, like, hey, we're trying to do, like, a story about Scorpion, too, but also, hey, here's, you know, the first Mortal Kombat. So I feel like this one kind of benefits from that a little bit, about being solely focused on Johnny Cage, even though, you know, there's not really that much to, like, Johnny Cage or anything like that. He's a pretty one-note character, but I feel like if you were going to do a movie specifically about Johnny Cage, you know, pretty much detached from anything really in regards to the tournaments or anything like that, I feel like this is probably the best outcome. I think they did a pretty good job. It's just fun, dumb action, pretty much. I enjoyed it.
I think Cody might agree with this assessment too. This is like an animated version of the movie Commando. Obviously, it's like not a lot of guns and shit, but it's that silly action. Just it knows what it is and it knows it's just having fun.
Except not nearly as good.
Yeah.
Cody does not really like Arnold Schwarzenegger as an actor, like, period. And the fact that Cody said Commando is a good movie is, like, fuck, you guys just have no idea. Like, if you've been listening to us the last 3 years, you kind of know what Cody's tastes are. It's kind of prudish. You think he's like some sophisticated redneck the way he sounds. But
prudish? How dare you, sir? I like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
But Cody, like, saying Commando, is just it warms my heart in a way that I think if a father saw his son actually ride the bicycle the first time with that, like, what is those things called? The
training wheels.
Oh, yeah, training wheels. I hadn't thought about that in forever. But the training wheels, like, it's Cody. Cody's growing up. It's like, my boy.
My boy.
There's a movie. I don't think you guys haven't watched this, but it's called The Comebacks. And it's a spoof movie on all sports movies that's been done. So it kind of, you know, it's like Airplane, Naked Gun, but not as good. But the star quarterback of the team, his dad's a cross dresser, and so you see him come up after his son, like, messes up the game. He comes, he's like bitching at him. He's like, "Look at you, you're embarrassment." He's all dressed up like a drag queen and shit. And later on in the movie, the star quarterback and his girlfriend get in a fight, and then they make up. And he goes, "Yeah, I'm wearing the sexy underwear you wanted me to wear." And she goes, "I didn't give you any sexy underwear." He's like, "What?" So he's wearing a thong. And then later on in the movie, after he wins the game, his dad, in cross-dress, comes up and gives him a hug. And his dad looks down, and his hand is pulled up his son's D-string on the thong. He goes, "My boy." It's really fucking stupid. But it's great, though. But it's stupid. Anywho, so, Cody, what did you think about, like, the artwork of this movie?
So, my criticisms of the art in this are similar to what they were for Snowblind, where it feels like, for whatever reason, it's just not... it doesn't look finished. I don't like the heavy... I really don't like the heavy black lines, outlines mixed with like this 80s kind of like color palette. It just doesn't, to me, it doesn't really work. But yeah, there's just like a lack of detail in a lot of things in this that were there for the first two films. And I mean, we kind of talked about the reason why it may have been that way with Snowblind, because, you know, it was made, you know, pandemic times and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know what the excuse would have been for this.
Yeah,
I think that when you come to like the, when you said the word rushed, I think it might be that, because, you know, I think Scorpion's Revenge came out in 2019, 2020 came out with Battle of the Realms, 2021 was Snowblind, and this movie, which had been in production and had the voice lines recorded in 2022, came out this year, and it's done by a South Korean studio, I guess, that Warner Brothers owns. Because if you look at the credits, it's all South, like, Korean names. You know, other than the American voice actors that are in this, you see that. So I think it's probably one of those things. They're probably just working them like as fast as they can. Let's get this pumped out.
Yeah.
I do think like these movies prove that Mortal Kombat can work as like an animated series. Like, ultimately, if you put like a Mortal Kombat show together, like 10 seasons, I mean, just something. I mean, you don't have to do like that. I don't need live action, because you can do more of the animation than live action. But like an adult themed, like Mortal Kombat, like Legacy, that web series that like did 10 minute episodes, but you can make these like 23 minutes or however long you want to make it. I think Mortal Kombat could work. What are you going to say, Owen?
I feel like this, art style's trying to sort of imitate, there's a show on Netflix that was like kind of like this, similar style, like, you know, the goofy 80s stuff. I can't remember what it was called, but there was like kind of like all the characters were like sort of black and white, but they were shaded with purples and stuff, and I remember them having dark outlines as well. God, I cannot for the life of me remember what the hell it's called. But they're pretty similar. But I guess I do kind of, I feel where Cody's coming from with that. Like, I do like sort of like the shading, cause it does add to the idea of, you know, the time period, but it does kind of, at its worst, sometimes this movie looks like an internet flash cartoon. You know, like something a YouTuber, like a team of YouTubers could make or something. Especially some of the movement and stuff. But
I mean, it's not even the shading necessarily. It's the shading, specifically the shading
the
paired
dark outlines.
With that.
Yeah,
it's just, it doesn't. You're right. It kind of does almost look like YouTube animation type stuff.
Yeah. So when it's at its roughest, it does look like that at times. I definitely don't think it's as fluid or good looking as Scorpion's Revenge, which I think probably had the best animation out of any of these.
Okay, I can respect that. Cody, do you kind of feel the same? Scorpion's Revenge,
yes,
looks the best, or do you think like Battle of the Realms did?
No, yeah, I think Scorpion's Revenge. I concur.
Okay, you haven't. Let me ask you this, Cody, because you've spoken on this before. You're not a fan, like, at all of, like, 80s nostalgia or 80s in general. Do you think possibly the 80s colors on this? Like, because it's very neon. You look at this movie, and I see, like, 1980s, 1990s Sting and Ultimate Warrior, like, neon colors that just glow.
It's not really so much
that
I'm not.
Do you think that might be? Because there's not a difference, though. You know, it's like Battle of the Realms. You have a little bit of that neon stuff with Johnny Cage at his house, but then the Scorpions is kind of dark, and then Fiery Sub-Zero's is dark and cold. Like, there's a difference in that movie. This movie feels like straight up all neon, where like Snowblind was straight up everything looks like it has sand added to the color. Because of the shading of everything, you know?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily that I'm not a fan, like, just not a fan whatsoever of, like, the 80s, like, style, but it's just, I just don't feel like it works very well with the way that it's, with the way that it's portrayed in this.
Okay. I got you. That's cool. I'm just curious, because, like, that's my one complaint about Snowblind is, like, obviously it's a Mad Max movie, but everything has sand added to the color. You know, even Sub-Zero's blue, Scorpion's yellow, everything's just darker. Even when it snows, it looks like that. When it snows in that movie, it almost looks like that part of the movie is being played through a VHS tape. It's kind of weird. And, like, this movie, everything's very 80s and very neon, which I'm cool with, but, you know, there are some things that doesn't look quite as good. All right, well, so let me ask you guys real quick. How familiar are you guys with Serena, Kia, and Jataka and Shinnok and Quan Chi's stories?
I just know that they're from the Legends Sub-Zero game. That's okay. And that they're Quan Chi's like sluts or something.
Yeah, Cody, what do you know about them?
The stories. I know we cover this on the show that is yet to see the light of day. I know that they're like servants or something to Quan Chi, and they're demons from the Nether Realm, and they're in Sub-Zero mythologies. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, Let me take it back a little bit to you guys, and I'll explain something to you. Back to the dawn of time, there was something called the One Being, and he was split up by the Elder. No, I'm just kidding. He split up by the Elder Gods, and now we have the realms. No, that's right. Like, eventually, we're going to release at some point, maybe this year, maybe next. Who fucking knows? I think Cody envisioned it as a different a sister show to this podcast. I will say it's a sub-season of this show. This is something, like, it's the same, we cover it the same way, but it's going to have Filmoscopy, you know, with a colon, and then the Pixel Chronicles for right now, until he makes it into a full-blown show, if his schedule opens up for that. But we do cover, like, all the Mortal Kombat games, and our memories, and what we know of production at that point, just from a fun fan's perspective. So we have Kia, which is the first sister you see. She's the one, kind of dark hair. Oh, they all have dark hair, but she has dark hair, and it's kind of swooped back, and she has a headband. You have Serena, who has kind of like Reiko's face paint, or Shang Tsung's Mortal Kombat 3 face paint over her eyes. And then you have Jataka, who's, you know, an African-American, but she has, like, white hair. So she kind of looks like Storm from X-Men. And, like, the whole thing was, like, Shinnok, when he was sent down to Netherrealm, he tried to make the Netherrealm look like Earthrealm, because that's what he wanted. Obviously, it's not going to completely work, but that's what he is. And they looked at the human form as, like, the perfect form, or an elevated form than their demon forms. So when Quan Chi became a sorcerer, Quan Chi was an Oni at one point in his existence, and then he learned sorcery and transformed himself into this image he has of a pasty white bald human tonsil. I don't know how else you can describe Quan Chi. But then he made these three demons into a human form, because obviously, you know, he wants to get his dick wet. But they are his assassins, kind of like Katana, Jade, and Melina are to Shao Kahn, but they're also his lovers. And he, like, just sends them out. So Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero, which is a prequel to the original game, you're introduced to all the story element. And Serena, there's a line in this movie that we'll get to. She wants to escape the Netherrealm, and she wants to hook up with Bi-Han, the original Sub-Zero. And, you know, she ends up getting killed. But when you're a demon and you get killed in the Netherrealm, you're not actually dying. You just go back to the fifth plane of the Netherrealm in your true form as a demon. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, this movie just kind of opens up. Like, Johnny Cage is on a movie set doing Ninja Mime, which is a joke movie that the MK team put together for Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance. It's something you find in the crypt, like, oh, this is a movie that he did called Ninja Mime, and they finally, I mean, it's been a running joke through all these games at this point. So they did it, and they mentioned another movie he did, which was some other little nugget of information you found out in the crypt from Deadly Alliance. I found that out today. I thought it was pretty cool. So Johnny Cage has to go save his co-star, Jennifer. And Jennifer is Jennifer Grey, played by Jennifer Grey. She was a huge 80s star. She played in, like, Dirty Dancing and quite a few other movies. She's Ferris Bueller's sister in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, if you had to have a visual image of that. And so she has, you know, she has all this, which is, it's entertaining. I like it. I mean, I to be honest with you, she was pretty hot back in the day. So when you see her later on, she's pretty hot. And then she's turned to Serena. It's like, ooh, okay. Spoiler alert for the podcast. But yeah, so Johnny Cage is doing a movie. He gets an argument with his director. He has an assistant named Chuck, which in the original John Tobias Mortal Kombat 1 comic book, Johnny Cage has an assistant named Chuck, because he's this fat, balding, white dude. So at least they reuse the name. It's a nice little callback to that. You hear when he's doing this flashback telling Chuck about his life, you know, the name Carlton, because Johnny Cage's real name is John Carlton. And
Carl, come back with the others.
Carlton Banks.
So I find it pretty it's really cool. Like, it just seems like Jeremy Adams, when he has these ideas, he actually went back into the games or went back into, like, something to actually find like a name. It wasn't like for Star Wars, the expanded universe. They have, like, all these characters, and then you have them release a Han Solo movie, and they kind of take elements from some of those books for Han Solo's movie, but the characters that he interacts with, they literally change the names of something else for no reason. So he actually kind of keeps the names the same, and I really enjoy that. It's just a nice little connection for somebody who's a long-term fan of the franchise. But so Johnny, he finds out that Jennifer's missing. She's actually the star of the movie, even though Johnny Cage, this movie is told by Johnny Cage's narration. So he's the star in his head, but this is really his first big break, and Jennifer's the big star. So he tries to go try to find her. He goes into the bedroom, the house, and he hears, like, the house is kind of all messed up. And he hears a woman going, or two women going, in the bedroom. And he's like, all right. Kind of almost like Johnny Bravo. And he goes upstairs, he opens the door, he goes, is everybody decent, with a smile? And it's Ashra, who is one of the sisters of Serena Kien Chitaka, who was introduced in Mortal Kombat Deception. She looks like a female Raiden with her hat. Is fighting with Kia. And Kia is, she's the, she's really kind of like non-existent in the story. She's just there. And you kind of, like, notice in the Mortal Kombat mythologies, like, cutscenes, she has really big melons. And, like, that's the only reason I remember her. She's played by the chick who did the motion capture for Sonya in Mortal Kombat 3 and in Mortal Kombat 4. So I was like, oh, okay, so that. And Serena's played by the chick who did motion capture for Sindel in Mortal Kombat 3. And she also did motion capture for Tanya in Mortal Kombat 4. So there's these, like, kind of similar, like, facial things I recognize with these characters. Like, okay, they're still based off the original actor's look, which is kind of cool. But Kien and Jitaka are fighting over this this scroll. Or, yeah, you don't know it's a scroll yet. It's a rolled up piece of paper at this point. And they're fighting, and then Johnny Cage gets in the middle of it, and then they both escape because they're chasing each other. Well, Asher's really chasing Kia. And then Johnny Cage notices there's a bomb in Jennifer's house. So he escapes and blows up, and he decides to try to go find this scroll so he can, this piece of paper, and try to find Jennifer. So where are you guys at right now with this movie as you're watching it? I'll go with Cody first, obviously. Sorry. I mean, I shouldn't have, like, let you guys hang in like that. My bad.
I mean, I'm interested in where it's going at this point. I mean, you're not too far into it yet, so.
Okay. So it had your interest at this point, at least. You weren't completely, like, turned off from it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Owen, was that about the same for you? You're like, okay, this is a little different.
So we saw his manager, the guy who's voiced by
not yet. We hadn't seen him yet.
Okay, that's when I was sold on the movie. shit. I wonder what the fuck they were thinking. Like, they literally...
Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah, Gilbert Godfrey in this movie is like... it's so fucking funny. I swear, there's points... When he calls him on the phone, it's like he's not even trying, like, to fucking even act at all. He's just like, get the fucking fuck back here. The funniest fucking shit. I'm sorry to hijack that, but yeah. I mean, I'm kind of neutral at this point. I mean, you know, I like Johnny Cage and all, so, I mean, I was down for it at this point, but it hadn't hooked me.
Okay. Well... Gilbert Godfrey does play Johnny Cage's manager in this movie, and this is his last voice acting credit. He passed away in 2022, so he was dealing with like some issues with his heart from what I was just reading up that he'd been dealing with for years. But it is cool to see him like this, and his voice just kind of belongs in like an over the top role like Mortal Kombat anyway.
Yeah,
so I think it's pretty cool they actually had them. Like, he did this. Like, this is one of his last acting roles, if not his last acting role, before he passed away. But, yeah, so, like, the chase goes on. Johnny Cage gets on a tour bus. He's like, hey, you gotta follow that car. Because in that car, Kia and Asher are fighting over the scroll. And then Kia gets knocked out of the car. The bus runs over Kia. So, like, the kills happen.
Yeah, that was really funny, too, when it just fucking hits her.
Yeah, she explodes, and then that dude, the guy driving it, goes, "Damn, what does he say? Damn doves, or damn some bird?" And he's like, "Damn birds," or something like that. That's what
yeah.
You got this whole thing with Johnny. It's just a whole little chase thing. Johnny doesn't know what he's really chasing after. He gets a call from. His manager who is played by Gilbert Godfrey, tells him, hey, you got something from the big man. Of course, the voiceover, Johnny Cage, can't say the big man's name because of, like, copyright reasons or something like that. It's probably Steven Spielberg, ultimately. So he goes there, and his manager says, I need that fucking scroll back. And the funny part about it is he goes, I'm a part of this club. He goes, the Academy Award winning club? He goes, like, let's kiss assy or some shit like that. Or the Actors Guild or some shit like that. So, you find out that his manager is a demon. And he tries to bully Johnny Cage and getting the scroll back. And Johnny Cage, as you heard from his backstory, which I really didn't delve into, he does not like bullies. He was bullied a lot as a kid. And what's pretty cool is, like, when he does that backstory, I gotta go back to that real quick. His teacher, Master Boyd, it's a callback. I think they kind of went with the Chuck Norris 80s look for his master. But Master Boyd is the guy you see in the Mortal Kombat 95 movie that's on the set when Johnny Cage is like, hey, you're in my chair. He goes, Master Boyd. And he's kind of got like long gray hair and a beard. And that was the guy that trained Johnny. But he's being impersonated by Shang Tsung. So that's who Master Boyd, who's doing the training montage, is straight out from like Karate Kid for Johnny Cage,
is
supposed to be.
So is that in the first movie where Shang Tsung?
Yeah, the very first movie.
Okay, that's cool. That's kind of a cool callback.
Yeah, like I said, when they use names, man, they literally do the research and actually use the names for these movies, which is cool. The long story short, Johnny ends up discovering this club that he was talking about. It's literally just a club of like magicians. And Jataka is taking him down to this like really chamber, And then Ostrich saves him because she's literally trying to like, because she's talked to Raiden. Evidently, she's part of the White Lotus. And Raiden, who's only in one scene in this movie, is talking to her. I guess it's supposed to be where Raiden finds out about Johnny Cage or some shit like that. I'm trying to think what else is like interesting, because literally it's just like I said, it's kind of like an 80s action scene. Like Johnny Cage ends up killing a lot of demons and shit like that, and then they find out that Jennifer is a part of this cult, and she wants the scroll, and she knocks out Johnny Cage and keeps him captured. They tell Johnny Cage that he has the blood of a god, and that they need his blood to open the portal to release their god, Shinnok. And you find out Jennifer is actually Serena, who's the main chick. And, you know, they have all these markings on Johnny Cage. It looks like somebody looked at the markings on Quan Chi from the video games and just etched this on his chest and his face and shit like that. It looks real stupid. So he ends up, they draw the blood, and it's really cool when Shinnok does show up at the end of this movie, because you see the fucking hands, like, from Netherrealm. They're kind of like, they have, like, you can see the not flesh, but the muscles on the hands, because they're supposed to be skeletons. And that's a little callback to, like, Shinnok's Mortal Kombat 4 fatality, which he stole from Scorpion, where he raises his hands, and a skull hand comes up from hell and grabs you and like pops your head off. But then also Mortal Kombat X, when he shows up, one of his intros for each match, these two hands from hell come up, they're skeleton hands, they open up and Shinnok is in them, like he was being protected by them. So Shinnok is kind of released, and he tells Serena, he goes, "Serena, my dear, I thought you were lost to us." She goes, "I was, I'm now back." That little line is obviously a quick little nugget to Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero. So how are you guys thinking about the movie so far as we're getting into the tail end of this?
I think it's a weird choice to have Shinnok be like the big bad for this movie, just because it's... I don't know. Just the way that I know Shinnok is that he's the type of enemy that it's going to take multiple of like your combat fighters or whatever to take down. So it's weird having him be the big bad in a movie where essentially the hero is just Johnny Cage and mocap.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting you say that. They took this part of the story from Mortal Kombat X, because Johnny Cage, that's where you kind of discover the green glow he has. He discovers that in this movie.
Like he discovered the green glow a couple weeks after hooking up with that hooker.
But what's even funnier about that, though, is he the moral of the fucking story is Johnny Cage realizes he is special. Remember, he's like, when he's getting knocked out by fucking Shinnok, and the kid goes, "Johnny, you gotta get up," and he's like, "This kid thinks I'm something I'm not. I'm just somebody that can hit the mark and looks good for the camera." And then he has all the flashbacks to, like, what he's picked out in his head when they've called him special, or he has special blood, and it keeps highlighting the word special. He goes, "I am special." That's literally what fuels him, is, like, being, like, fucking better than everybody else. He goes, "I am special." So, yeah, they have this kind of fight. And it is kind of weird, because the last time we saw Shinnok, he was bringing the end of the world in Battle of the Realms, and he became the one being after being fused with the essence of the one being. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, it's like, this is what we see Shinnok, and he comes back, and he has a nice little design, and it's like, he's fighting Johnny Cage and having issues with Johnny Cage. It's like,
When he burst into the scene, he's like, "Ooh."
He's like, "Ooh." That was really weird.
Look at me now, daddies.
Oh, daddy. I was showing my work leader the Dragon Ball Z Kai abridged. And when Cell shoves his tail into Piccolo's arm to drain the life out of his arm, that's when they show what Cell's doing with all the life force.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains what he is. Well, in Dragon Ball Z Kai, because Cell is a very sexual character. when he impales Piccolo's arm and starts draining his arm, he goes, "Ooh, daddy is so tight." if anybody's out there a Dragon Ball Z fan, or somebody that's never liked it, just go watch Dragon Ball Z Abridged. Like, it will give you a new impression of the show, and it's fucking incredible. Like, just
question,
it's amazing.
Question
like,
for
sell,
y'all. I know it's a little bit of an off topic, but did either one of y'all watch that SNL skit I sent y'all where it's Bill Hader and it's like the puppet class or whatever?
Yeah, but is he doing Christopher Walken?
No. He's like a Vietnam War vet or whatever, but his puppet is basically also him. So like he's using the puppet like to tell horror stories from his time in the war or whatever. And it makes everyone else in the class is like uncomfortable because he's like talking about how like he burned a village to the ground in Grenada or whatever. Y'all should really watch it. It's fucking hilarious. But anyway, I don't know why I thought about that.
I had actually seen that like a couple years ago, but I thought it was something else too because he does all these impressions.
Oh yeah,
he sent that to me. My memory jogged to him doing a Christopher Walken impression.
No one was laughing out loud that night in Grenada. Me, I was saying TTYL to my innocence. So funny.
Bill Hader is fucking like incredible. Like,
no man, yeah.
I know he's kind of pigeonholed in that fucking like that comedic role, but like he's extremely talented. Like, mm-hmm. Period. Golly damn, he did one. There's like a thing where he's on Conan and he's doing the Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. He's working on set on one of, like, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie. I want to say Collateral Damage or Eraser.
I think it might have been Collateral Damage. I know exactly the interview you're talking about.
And he goes, go find my hairdresser Brian. He's like, go do it. And he goes like, show some initiative. And he's
show me your leadership capabilities.
Yeah, I know that shit right there is like fucking like perfect. And then somebody deep faked his face to where every time he says something in Arnold's face, he has Arnold's eyes and shit like that. It's really good. He's fucking funny. Like,
but yeah, man, Owen, if you haven't seen that puppet skit, you need to see it for sure. It's hilarious. And there's a second part of it too that they did, I think, for the 40th anniversary of SNL, where he comes back or whatever, and it's it even has like a Vietnam flashback at the end of it. It's great.
All right.
That's pretty fucking funny. All right, real quick. So, because Cody's talked about this, and there is a part of me that I guess I kind of just shut my brain off. And, like, okay, it's a Mortal Kombat movie. Fine. Is there any part of this movie, Owen, like, well, not part, but like, it's like Johnny Cage and Shinnok, and like, we've seen Shinnok merge the world and he's about to destroy everything. Is there a part of you that's like, where's Raiden? And why is it only Johnny Cage fighting?
He shows up in this movie, though, doesn't he? He's talking to Ashra.
He talks to Ashra, but he's there. Don't you think he'd show up?
He's
if
like,
showed up?
He's like, man, I'm too busy for this fucking bullshit.
he's like, we got to keep the canon. Johnny Cage can't know about me until the Scorpion's Revenge.
Yeah, that's why I agree with Cody when he was saying the thing about Shinnok. I thought that maybe what they were going to do was have it be like these cultists, but never actually have Shinnok show up. But then they have Shinnok show up, and I'm like, why? You know? Like, what the fuck?
You just got to have a big bad. Shinnok's like Mortal Kombat's favorite big bad to make look like a bitch.
Yeah, because nobody
like
really
likes
him. He's
supposed to be like this all-powerful thing. Yeah, no, but it's like nobody. Like, he's supposed to be all-powerful, and he's really not. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you think he's a fallen elder god, so in theory, he's more powerful than Shao Kahn. He's more powerful than Onaga. He's definitely more powerful than Quan Chi and Shang Tsung.
Quan Chi.
But he literally gets his ass handed to him every fucking game. Like, Mortal Kombat X, Cody can like verify this for you because I know he played it just like I did. Shinnok is a breath of fresh air to beat Mortal Kombat X versus playing Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah,
like, period.
Because he's easy.
Yes.
Well, it's just
he's
fucking easy. He doesn't have a bunch of like cheap ass.
Yeah.
you know,
fucking throw the fucking hammer at you. No booger. No booger.
No booger.
Me and Cody, that's a little, go ahead, Owen.
When he shoulder checks you with no wind up.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. Like, there's no way to block that shit. And I remember reading in the fucking instruction manual that I got, they're like, to beat Shao Kahn, when he does the shoulder charge, duck down and hit him with the uppercut. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Even if you're ducked down, he does that shoulder charge, you fucking get hit and get knocked down. You have to, like, hit, like, the right fucking split second to uppercut him. From Mortal Kombat 2 to 3 to fucking Trilogy to, like, Mortal Kombat 9, it has to be, like, the perfect spot. You hit it once out of maybe 10 times. It's fucking terrible. But the thing is, when Shao Kahn does this thing where he throws his little green imaginary spears at you, it sounds like he's saying no booga, like no boogers, or more booga, like more boogers. And he's like, more booga, no booga. And me and Cody were just like obviously cracking up because we were getting mad and couldn't beat his ass. Because obviously Mortal Kombat 9, you're stuck trying to beat him with fucking Raiden in the story mode. Which, I'm not going to lie to you, it fucking blows. Like, it's not good.
Yeah,
I hate Raiden. Because Raiden doesn't jump over anything. You can jump over with other characters. But for some reason, they're like, you know, Raiden's supposed to be 7 foot tall. He should move around like a 7 foot tall person. So when he jumps like a foot off the ground. It's fucking stupid. But yeah, Shinnok, like, it's so fucking easy in Mortal Kombat X to fucking just beat Shinnok. You have, like, no issues with it whatsoever because you're fucking facing Johnny Cage. You're as Johnny Cage doing the moves and shit like that. And I was really, like, obviously Shinnok just shows up to be that quick, the quick villain to get beat. He's only in the movie like 10 minutes. I do think it's probably wasted. Like, I would have made Quan Chi, maybe, the villain that shows up, because I could see Johnny Cage fighting Quan Chi. Not necessarily Shinnok, but they, like I said, and they said in that interview with the Realmcast YouTube channel, that he took this part of the story from Mortal Kombat X. It's Shinnok versus Johnny. Johnny discovers his powers. He finds out he's got the blood of a god. And, oh, by the way, this movie takes place on Christmas. And it's funny when Shinnok shows up. He goes, hey, pal, we're celebrating one god today, and you ain't him. Because it's supposed to be Jesus' birthday. And I thought that was pretty funny. And then he goes up to hit Shinnok, and Shinnok just catches it, and he goes, oh, shit, in his head. So, yeah, it's some funny shit. You know, like I said, this movie's got some funny moments, got some funny one-liners. I do like the 80s. The 80s, like feel to it. Like I said, it does feel like Lethal Weapon. I think that Joel McHale does a great job as Johnny Cage, but this movie does borderline on too much of him talking. Like, Johnny Cage and Kano are two characters that people find incredibly funny, and it's true. But if they're the main character of a story, you got to have a little more. You have to have somebody else to bounce off of, because it can be too much at some point. I think that some people, I've heard talk about the Mortal Kombat 2021 movie. Everybody's like, I love Kano. He's my favorite part of the movie. And they've said, like, he's kind of fucking annoying. Like, there's too much of it. Like, everybody's like, it's kind of cool that he's doing the improv shit, but he's doing too much of it. So I get that. I think this movie just borderlines on that. Owen was talking about earlier, you find out everybody in Hollywood is a part of this cult. They're actually all demons worshiping Shinnok, from Johnny's producer to Johnny's director.
That's just like real life.
To Johnny's proctologist.
Yeah.
He said proctologist.
We find out later that Shinnok was on the flight list to Little St. James's Island.
Oh. That'd be funny as hell. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. I'm watching this Cleveland Browns Houston Texans game. It's going to be a fucking score fest. Like, Houston's about to be up 17-14. They're just going down the field on big plays on each other.
By God.
But I am pretty, I thought it was kind of funny, like, you know, after this, Johnny Cage has this fight in front of the people. Like, he has a big movie career, and they show the magazine covers, and then they show the paparazzi covers, like Johnny Cage, fallen star, and it shows them all fat eating shit. It's like, what happened to Johnny Cage? And it's like, man, that was quick. And then you see some paparazzi taking pictures of Johnny Cage outside of his house. And if you pay attention closely, that house, I'm pretty sure, is the same design of his house that they used in Scorpion's Revenge at the beginning when you see him at first. So it's a cool setup. Like, nice little callback. Like I say, it can be loosely connected to it, but I mean, who knows? But yeah, it's like I said, it's like the Johnny Cage story you've seen just played out. It's funny that he's introduced to Shinnok and all these Netherrealm demons, and then you watch Scorpion's Revenge and he goes, Earthrealm, so dumb. And like, he doesn't know Raiden's a god and all this other shit, so it's kind of like, yeah, that's the problem with doing kind of like a prequel. You have to introduce something like that, but
yeah, yeah. I figured they would probably keep the stakes low, considering, but I don't know. Oh well,
it's all that Molly.
Yeah,
went
like I said, they did a good job with it. What, Cody? I
said all that Molly went to his brain over that time. He forgot
what
he
like
did.
2 months.
Yeah,
it all looks so fucking same.
I beat Shinnok and I did nothing but pop Molly once an hour. I was sweating. My eyes were the size of the moon, and I had a raging boner all the time.
Me too. I could feel it in my loins. All right, so like I said, I probably didn't do a great job covering the plot. There are some funny one-liners in this movie. Like I said, it. The guy said he looked at this, Jeremy Adams, the writer, looked at this as almost like a Shane Black movie from the 80s. Shane Black is the guy who wrote and directed Iron Man 3. He did The Predator. He's done quite a few movies. He ghost-writed on Predator. He ghost-writed on Die Hard and had a lot of the stuff. He's the guy in the movie Predator that goes, you know, I was going down with my girlfriend the other day, and I said, gee, she's got a big pussy. And he goes, and she says, why'd you say it twice? I said I didn't. Because the echo. And he's having to explain his jokes. It's fucking great. I love that joke. I love it when he says another one. He goes, like, I went to a girlfriend, like, I look at a little pussy. And she goes, yeah, me too. Mine's as big as a house. Because, you know, her pussy's big as a house.
Yeah.
So that's Shane Black actually acting in a movie, so. So that's the whole thing with that. Very 80s inspired. If you like Lethal Weapon, if you like Mortal Kombat, I think you'll like this movie. Like Cody alluded to earlier, Chuck tries to, Chuck goes, he wants to be just like Johnny Cage. He starts having these badass moments in this movie, because he's like, they say WWJCD, what would Johnny Cage do? And so he starts, like, he'll step up and, like, start fighting somebody the best he can. And then he decides he's going to get karate lessons at the strip mall. And it doesn't work out for him like it does Johnny. So he ends up being Johnny Cage's mocap actor and calls himself mocap in the video game. A weird visual. They had Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat Trilogy fighting Scorpion. And when Scorpion does the spear, they don't have Ed Boon's voice saying, get over here. They have somebody else saying, get over here. It's really fucking weird. And they don't even have the right sound effects in the game. And like, so yeah, that's it's like all.
I forgot about that they have like the little fake Mortal Kombat one. They probably couldn't get Ed Boon in. He's like, I don't want to do this shit.
Well, no, I mean, it's Warner Brothers, though. Warner Brothers owns Mortal Kombat. They own all that IP. They should just be able to put gameplay footage in there, you would think. It's almost like they didn't want to pay Ed royalties.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't even have to pay Ed royalties, considering they own it, so.
They own that shit.
Well, I know, I'm talking about, like, later on. Like, he does get, that's why they cut all that shit off the HBO Max, because they didn't want to pay royalties to the actors. So I'm assuming, like, this is something they just wanted to change, so later on down the road, they don't have to pay any royalties to Ed for him being credited, because anytime you use his voice in a game or something like that, he has to be credited for his voice. I'm sure he's getting royalties for the 95 movie and 97 movie. So, it's just one of those things. It's kind of weird that they did. Warner Brothers, like I said, that episode's already been released, but by the time this episode comes out, it's like 3 episodes ago. We just kind of trashed Warner Brothers because they're also, again, on the threshold of being bankrupt, and they're having to merge with another corporation because they can't get their shit together, and I find it extremely funny. I really wish Sony would get a whole, like, be able to buy the Mortal Kombat franchise and NRS and let them do their own thing. Just fund them. Sony can make some money off of it. They've done it with Insomniac Games with Spider-Man and all that shit. It's just fucking irritating, man. Just, I feel like they're going to be fucked. Like Mortal Kombat going forward, like, it's going to be stuck in this limbo because Warner Brothers is about to go out of business. I hope Mortal Kombat 2 actually gets released, not like they did with the Batgirl movie where they filmed it, the movie's not good, we're not going to release it. You know, it's like, I don't fucking need you guys to do that stupid shit.
Yeah.
So, alright, so before we close up, going to the final thoughts, you guys rank the movie as you recommend it or don't recommend it, and since the beginning of the episode, has your ranking changed after talking about the movie a little bit? Cody, we'll go with you first.
No, mine's the same as what I said earlier. As far as recommending it, it's one of those. I mean, if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, sure, but if not, I don't think there's anything really here for you.
You're not missing anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, you've recommended the first three yourself.
Yeah, but even then, know. I think if I remember right, Battle of the Realms, I even said the similar thing of, like, if you're not a Mortal Kombat fan, you know, you're probably not going to enjoy it. Because that one relies very heavily on, like, the story of the first three games or whatever. Whereas the other two, I think, are decent enough to watch on their own. But yeah, I think this falls in the same kind of camp as Battle of the Realms, where if you're not a Mortal Kombat fan, there's nothing really special here.
Okay. And you said that when you ranked them, you did Scorpion's Revenge, Snowblind, then Battle of the Realms, and then this movie, right?
No, Cage Match was third.
Oh, Cage Match was third, okay. Don't remember how that worked. But really, once you get past the first two, it really doesn't matter how you rank them to yourself, really, because it's just not like you can go back and rewatch them.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, Battle of the Realms, just like this at least you could go into and watch without any context of the other stuff. I don't think it's a very good animated movie. Whereas opposed to, But the story still stands on its own, whereas Battle of the Realms is this, like, really convoluted if you don't have prior knowledge of the series.
Okay, I got you. All right, Owen, sir, I'll go with you in your ranking.
I kind of fall in, I guess, in a similar line with Cody, but a lot of these movies, I feel like pretty much with all these movies, you know, you're probably only, like, these are marketed towards, like, you know, Mortal Kombat fans and people who are already interested in it. So yeah, I think, you know, just if you don't know anything about Mortal Kombat or if you aren't interested, I think inherently you're probably not going to have a very good time you know, watching these. But I liked this one for what it was worth, so I feel like if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, especially if you like, you know, the character of Johnny Cage or maybe some of the more goofier, you know, funnier aspects of Mortal Kombat, you would probably get a kick out of this one.
Okay, I got you. And you had this one ranked, what, a third for you as well?
I believe second. I think I had Scorpion's Revenge, this one, then Battle for the Realms.
Snowblind,
my bad, and then Battle for the Realms.
Okay, got you. All right. Well, I'm sure somebody's going to be listening to this and be like, it was literally less than an hour ago. How is he not fucking remembering?
I can't remember anything.
Yeah, no, my memory's fucking fucked at this point.
Yeah.
I would say if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, I definitely recommend this movie. I feel like if you're not a Mortal Kombat fan, you're not going to be interested in it. Even you might be an 80s, like, action movie fan. You might watch it and might find it entertaining. But, you know, Mortal Kombat's biggest appeal are the ninjas, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and then everybody else. Like, you have to have that kind of visual to kind of bring people in, period, in my opinion. So I think that this movie, obviously, it lacks all the ninjas, and it relies on more obscure characters versus what you get in Scorpion's Revenge and Battle of the Realms. So I think that from a mass appeal, it's not going to have a mass appeal, but I do think that this movie was still pretty successful from like a money making standpoint. But I do recommend it. Just go ahead and watch it. If you watch the other three, might as well. It's pretty entertaining. It does, like, I mean, it's not, I know there's people out there who's like, yeah, I'm glad they did something different with the story instead of just having the ninjas. Like, look, dude, most Star Wars without Darth Vader is pretty fucking boring. So, you know, that's why it doesn't really work. You gotta have Scorpion. You gotta have one of the two Sub-Zeros with Scorpion to kind of, like, have something to anchor down the story, because, yeah, Shang Tsung and Shao Kahn look cool as hell, but I really want to fight as the dude who throws a spear and says, get over here, the other dude that freezes somebody. So I think from a mass appeal, this movie's not really going to have that kind of mass appeal, but I think it's going to have a niche audience. And I do think that I would recommend it just to support Mortal Kombat as a franchise. Other than that, that's it. My ratings, like I said, I'd have to just still rate them as they came out because of how much Scorpion is shown. Like, I'm the type of person, I go back and watch old WWF pay-per-views. I'm not watching King of the Ring 93 to see Bret Hart and Curt Hennig and then Bret Hart versus Bam Bam and Bret Hart versus Razor Ramon. I'm going back and watch SummerSlam 92 or SummerSlam 91 just to watch The Ultimate Warrior. I'm not going back to watch any of the shit that people would consider classic. So, yeah, there's no Scorpion in it. My interest level is not high, but I did have fun with this movie. All right, our next movie is going to be Owen, and I'm sure he hasn't been thinking about this at all.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see what he picked.
Is it really?
Well, I'll tell you this, Owen. If you pick a movie where they have a live killing of a real animal like you've done twice in our podcast history,
yeah,
I'm going to skip the next episode because I'm not watching a water buffalo or cow get killed for real on camera again.
All right. We're going to watch a Serbian film. Nah, I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm
just screwing with you.
No, I want to watch The Big Lebowski.
Yes. I really cannot wait for this. This is going to be fun.
Yes. The movie, I'm excited the movie for about show. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's fucking Mick Lebowski. Like at the end when he's dumping the ashes and it just blows all over him, he's just kind of like looking into it, smiling, and he's like, "What the hell, man?" all right, Cody, what was going to be your movie after this?
Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Of Skeet Street, actually.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they don't make meat pies, they make cream pies.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That's awesome.
That's disgusting. I'm glad Cody told me this. I'm fucking great. Oh boy. And then I'm going ahead and say this, get this out of the way. My next movie after that, just to finish this all up, it's going to be a movie shit on by Owen and Cody mercilessly. It's going to be Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Like, this is going to be a bad movie. I'm going to admit it's a bad movie, and I'm still going to, like, say I recommend it just for Scorpion. But that's just me. It's a spoiler alert for, like, I don't know, roughly 6 weeks from now. So, I was going to say, you guys got anything else to say on this podcast episode? Or something? Is there kind of some, like, news you wanted to hit?
But real quick, I wanted to mention in breaking news, film in the film world this week, I guess David Gordon Green they claim he backed out of the rest of the Exorcist trilogy that he started, but I think he probably got fired because it didn't do very well in theaters and it didn't do all that well critically. So now the next movie won't come out this year like it was supposed to because they have to find a new director, but so be it.
Okay, look, I know David Gordon Green was like a comedy director before that, and I think everybody was like, man, he's gonna make some really great movies and shit like that, and everybody jerked off Halloween 2018 for being,
but like, everything since then has been awful. Or, you know, I like the The Exorcist Believer, I liked it fine. I mean, it's not like a amazing movie or anything, but I liked it fine. It's just, yeah, I think what what Universal, yeah, Exorcist is Universal, right?
Yes.
So I think what they really thought is like, oh, well, Jordan Peele was a comedian, like comedy writer slash comedy actor slash comedy director, sort of. Yeah, I guess he probably directed some of like the Key and Peele stuff, but and he did really well going into the horror genre. Maybe this guy will do well too. And like, yeah, no.
I think it's funny, like, you know, like we all universally hated on Halloween Kills, and then when Halloween Ends came out, Alex, Cody, and I hated on it, and I actually offered an on-air apology to Halloween Kills for being so wrong. But like, they can't get worse than this, and I was wrong. And then there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, the people just didn't give this movie a fucking chance. No, you cannot sit there and get mad at something because it doesn't match your little niche view. People are so excited. Those people are excited that they did something different with the Halloween franchise and mixed in with like that mystery 80s romance bullshit between kids. And it's like, look, dude, we wanted to see Michael Myers. This is potentially the last one we get for a while. We want to see him fuck some shit up and have fun.
When the entire fan base, not Grandpa Mike.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I never, like, that movie will always be tied to that slow pan out with that Corey kid on the motorcycle, and you think Michael Myers is sitting on the back seat with him, holding him like a bitch. And I literally thought that's what the camera was going to show, and it was just obviously his girlfriend. And it's like, man, that image is always in my head. I just think about Michael holding him and snuggling his head up to the back of his neck, riding on the motorcycle. And I'm like, this movie just fucking ruined everything. And it's so stupid. And then they show Michael get ground up by the thing, and you can tell it's like this fucking really like, really dumb, like it's a dummy, and his arms and legs are just flailing everywhere. I'm like, look, this does not look realistic. You didn't have to show that part. Just show the blood go everywhere. It's fine. But I just think it's funny that movie, like, he tried to take over another classic franchise, quote unquote. It's really a classic movie with bad sequels, and you know, he's failed at it. So, and like I said, you can make money off of stuff like I talked about on like one of our last episodes, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's. That movie was simultaneously released in theaters and on Peacock, and that movie made $230 million on a $20 million budget in the theaters. Both Halloween movies combined that were released in theaters and on Peacock made $200 million. Now that's fucking embarrassing because those movies weren't good, you know. So, like, more power to him. Like, he wants to go do something else, that's cool, but you can't sit there, like, sit. My opinion of the Halloween movie stands up, like, the 2018 one. It's like, all he did was take references to all the other movies from the franchise and put them in the movie, and everybody acted like it was his own shit. And he was like, well, we're going to pay tribute to every fucking movie that's happened. It's like, no, you stole shit from every movie and put it into your story. You didn't have an original story, and you never did. So,
yeah,
fuck them, it's fine. All right, so we got our next three movies planned out: The Big Lebowski, Sweeney Todd, and then Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And I'm sure after that, once we get through Owen and Cody's next movies, I might start on the Friday the 13th cycle just to watch an hour and 25 minute horror movie, already know all the facts about it, and just go into a podcast and have fun and not have to prepare for anything. So, all right, you guys, any last words before I kill you both? I mean, before I end this podcast?
Poop.
You sound just like my birds, because they say poop before they poop, Owen. So.
That's cool. Do they really? Yeah, that's Savannah, fucking awesome.
Poop. Yeah, no, they do. Yeah, like, they know what it is. Savannah keeps trying to get it. She goes, poop. They'll say poop, and then they'll lift up their wings and take a big old shit.
I do that too now.
Okay. Savannah goes, she told me, she goes, Noodles knows what the word poops means because she's done it twice today. She says poop and then she poops, so she knows what the fuck it is. It's hilarious.
Before I take a big shit, I go poop, and then
I go poop. It's like a fucking command. It's like Dragonzord. I'm morphing to the Green Ranger. Yeah. And I go poop.
It's a key blast, except it's shit instead of energy.
You're going to find I'm always going to have a reference to the Dragon Sword, if it can always help. So, anyway, everyone, thank you for listening to this. Thank you for listening to all the Mortal Kombat episodes if you've done that. I want to say a special thank you to Tadmok99, who is what I would consider a central force in the Mortal Kombat fandom. He's a really cool dude, and he has shared our podcast that I've covered Mortal Kombat. I've sent it to him in direct message on Twitter/X, and he's liked it, gave me some feedback, and he's reposted the last couple of them, so I appreciate that to Tadmok. And everybody that's listened, thank you so much. If you find this podcast to be entertaining, just retweet us or share it on Facebook or on Instagram or wherever it may be, or shoot us a like or 5 stars or however it works on Spotify or these podcast platforms. But thank you very much for listening, and as always, finish him.